The first large-scale wind farm in western South Dakota has received approval from the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. The Willow Creek Wind Energy Farm includes 45 turbines on private land about 10 miles northeast of Newell. In this fourth segment in our series of interviews on energy and the environment, SDPB's Charles Michael Ray sits down with Patrick and John O'Mara with the company Wind Quarry LLC. Patrick O'Mara begins the conversation talking about how the pair chose this location near the town of Newell for their project.
We started looking at the area around Newell about five and a half years ago, and initially looked at public land managed by the Bureau of Land Management. Worked on that for about 2 years and then decided to switch onto private land. We really got to like the people in the area, and we wanted to move the project further away from wildlife habitat as well as the sacred site of Bear Butte.
Why South Dakota? And why western South Dakota? This is the first large wind farm in western South Dakota. We have a few in the east, but this is the first one in the west.
Yeah, it's a great question. My brother John's here, and we first started looking at Wyoming for wind because everybody knows, you know, there's tons of wind in Wyoming. And after looking around there, we kind of gave up on Wyoming, and then one day John said to me, hey, you know what, I think the wind blows other places, and it looks like the wind blows quite a bit in South Dakota. And actually, since we've been up here, we've talked to people about wind power developments and that we would need to put up meteorological towers to measure the wind so that we would know, you know, is it really good enough, strong enough wind? And people would just laugh at us and say, you don't need to put up those towers. We can tell you right now the wind really blows up here. So yeah, it's been a wonderful work on that project. And and the area around Newell is really perfect for wind power development. Just basically short grass prairie. There aren't a lot of people. So that's it. South Dakota has wind, it has friendly people, and it has land that's perfect topography for wind power development.
I want to ask, too, I'm assuming that putting up a large-scale wind farm takes a lot of time, but both of you have day jobs. Your work with your company, Wind Quarry LLC, is not your only work.
So I'm a chemist. I work in the chemical management industry, supporting manufacturing. And Patrick is a family practice physician with a full-time medical practice in Colorado.
Where did you find the time to just put up a wind farm? Wow.
Well,
that's a lot.
It's driven by passion. We're very passionate about renewable energy, and Patrick and I have been best friends since the day I was born, and we decided to do this project together as much to do a project together as to really try to start a wind development business. So it's been a labor of love for us.
I want to ask a strange question, but do you sleep better at night doing this project? You know what I mean? I mean, do you feel better about the future for your children, for your grandchildren? When you can look at the concerns of climate change, there are some really awful things that could be happening in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have three daughters, and this was really an attempt to improve their lives. I'm, as a family physician, I take care of people. I diagnose and treat things, treat illnesses. Maybe I make a difference, maybe over the short term. In the long term, what I will have done throughout my career will be gone. And my children and my grandchildren are going to live on, and I really feel that working in this industry and bringing renewables online is going to make a much bigger impact on their well-being than what I do in my day job.
Yeah. And I want to ask a question, too, just a big-picture question on why wind? Why wind energy? Why is this important as this kind of development is happening? It sounds like your company is certainly about profit, like all companies are, but for you, it's more than that.
Well, we really started the company to bring renewable energy online. It looks like we actually might make some money. That wasn't really in the cards to begin with. We just wanted to put some of our thoughts and our own energy into the renewable arena. Wind power has tremendous advantages right now. The newer wind turbines, the machines that are out there spinning and creating energy, produce a tremendous amount of electricity for the footprint that each turbine takes up. They take up only about a half an acre of land that's taken away from cropland or grazing. Yet, you know, one turbine will produce enough electricity for hundreds of homes. The technology has really come up in the last 10 to 15 years. What used to be mechanical engineering now has moved into aerospace engineering. The design of the blades, the design of the yaw and the rotation and pivoting of the blades to take advantage of wind power, forecasting for wind so that the turbine itself knows what wind will be coming at it, you know, a few seconds later, so that it can adjust to maximize its output, have revolutionized the amount of power that's generated with wind. So if, for us, it was a combination of technology and how clean it is. I mean, in our opinion, it's about the cleanest energy that you can produce. There's no carbon dioxide. There's no methane. There's no nitrous oxide. There's no sulfuric acid and sulfur products that end up going into the atmosphere. Mercury contamination, which is a huge problem with other modes of generation. It's just non-existent with wind power. We really feel this is the best power for commercial generation right now.
One thing that's recently changed in South Dakota is we've added some more incentives, some tax breaks incentives and some economic incentives to bring more wind power here. Did that factor into this at all? For years, surrounding states like Minnesota and you mentioned Wyoming have had better incentives than we have in South Dakota, and many have argued that those states are doing better in the wind energy industry than we are because of that. Does that play a role here at all?
You know, for our project, it really didn't. We had already prospected the site, had already gotten wind rights on the public land, then moved it on to private land, and we're well down the road by the time earlier this year when the tax incentives changed. It's a wonderful, you know, bonus for us. But really, our goal is to bring renewable energy online. It's great that now there are some financial benefits to developers and to utilities for putting renewables online.
And how about the infrastructure here when it comes to needed to move the power that you generate in this farm to market? Is that adequate in the state? I'm guessing that, John, this is something that you can address.
South Dakota, according to the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, has the fourth best wind resource in the country. However, the transmission here in the state is somewhat sparse. But our site up near Newell has a 115-kilovolt transmission line running through the project that's owned by Western Area Power Administration, and we'll be interconnecting to that. So for our particular site, it's ideal because it has a transmission, but certainly in many parts of the state, that's not the case.
Is that one of the limiting factors to developing more wind in South Dakota?
Certainly.
The state's congressional delegation has come out against the Clean Power Plan that recently announced by the EPA. Our state attorney general has joined on a lawsuit to try and block the Clean Power Plan from going into effect. What does the Clean Power Plan mean for both your company, this project, and the industry overall, the wind energy industry?
Well, as you said, it will be interesting to see where the chips fall at the end of all the debate on this. But we certainly feel that the Clean Power Plan is a great step forward for the country, and we're happy to see that type of leadership coming from Washington for renewable energy.
Does it help push the project forward in any way? Does it benefit your project directly?
I don't think it'll really change the direction of our project. As you know, our project was just approved by the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. We're near the end of the permitting process. So our project looks very good to be a success and to have that, as you mentioned, the first wind power plant this side of the Missouri. We hope that there's more. South Dakota has a tremendous resource here that I think people might be annoyed at certain times when, you know, their hat's blowing down the street or they can't keep their newspaper flat to read. But really, it's a fantastic asset for South Dakota, and we would certainly hope that the Clean Power Plan, some of the tax advantages you mentioned earlier, will help propel South Dakota into really taking advantage of a potential boon for energy production.
What's the timeline for when you hope to see this constructed and built and the permit finished up? And I guess what's the timeline for you to see it start generating power?
Yeah, we're hopefully going to be through the permitting process over the next 2 to 3 months. Then we will need to find someone who wants to buy the power. You can't really build a facility until you know where those electrons are going to go. So we're in the process of trying to figure that out. Once we have that agreement for a purchaser of the power, then the project can be built very quickly. It's possible that the project could be online toward the end of 2016, certainly sometime in 2017.
Do you know who's going to buy the power yet? Obviously, you don't know. It's still in the open market. But is it likely to be out of state or in state who will buy this power? Is there a difference?
There's a big difference. And the difference is tariffs and wheeling charges. So those are the terms used in the industry for getting power from the generation through the grid to where it's going to be used. Certainly, if we could find some utility that's within, you know, the geographic region of western South Dakota, that would be ideal. But there are incentives for other utilities that might be, you know, 1,000 miles away to take on this project and to want this power, because they have their own incentives and requirements for a certain amount of renewables in their portfolio.
That's one thing I understand about South Dakota is that our energy utilities companies aren't required to put a very high amount of renewables in their portfolio. There's no requirement for a certain percentage of the power of the per kilowatt hour bought by a homeowner, for example, to be renewable. And other states, even nearby, have a much higher percentage. And so they are more often to buy the wind power that we generate here. It's sent to other states. But would it help your business if the renewable energy, is it the renewable energy standard? Is that what that's called? I don't know. Would change here in South Dakota?
Yes, it's the it's called the RPS, the Renewable Portfolio Standard. At this point, South Dakota is certainly in the top three states for the percentage of power generated from renewables. So even with the very high standard, South Dakota would probably reach that now. So that's probably not a big incentive for this state because you already have such a high percentage of renewables.
Those renewables are already here, so they're being bought here anyway.
Correct. Yeah. However, a very significant driver for the development of renewables, especially wind power at this point in time, is purely economics. The cost of generating power with wind is coming down to the point that it's getting competitive enough that many utilities want wind power in their portfolio because it reduces their exposure to the cost fluctuations of fossil fuels, whereas wind power contracts tend to be long-term, 15, 20, 25-year contracts at a fixed price. And economically, that makes sense for utilities to do that.
As a follow-up to that, not only is wind extremely clean and non-polluting, it's also free. That's what people don't seem to really understand is it blows every day. It's there. You can take advantage of it or maybe just let it pass by. But it is free. And it's, I think, even a more valuable resource to South Dakota because of that.
I want to ask one more big picture question, if I can. We see Hawaii is going to plan on being 100% renewable by 2050. Germany is having some days where they're producing 80% of their energy from renewable sources. There are those that argue we need to rethink the grid in America, though, if we want to do more renewables. They say we need a more decentralized source of power generation rather than the old centralized source, more solar on rooftops and more wind energy and this sort of thing. Where do you see this debate falling? Do we need to rethink the grid? Is it possible to get to 100% renewable in states like South Dakota, or are they going to be able to do what they're talking about in Hawaii?
It's my opinion that the world can get to 100% renewables if people decide that's what needs to happen. So what really needs to change is the traditional view of utilities and the grid. We are strong believers in what's termed distributed energy, the rooftop solar that you mentioned, and then small turbines that might be set up on a ranch or a farm to generate power just for their own needs. We feel that could be a tremendous benefit, but it is going to change the playing field. The utilities and the entities like Western Area Power Administration that have to maintain transmission lines, they have to have a certain amount of cash flow to do that. So it'll take a reshuffling, I believe, of how things have traditionally been done for us to get there. But our view is that there are plenty of renewables out there to take care of all of the needs of the world, and we just need to work together to make it happen.
And one final question: you mentioned at the beginning of the interview on wildlife concerns, and I know there are concerns. We hear from some of the folks in the Audubon Society who worry about birds. There are those who worry about the health of bats, large raptors, kind of flying, even the whooping cranes that we love so much in Nebraska and South Dakota who fly through here. Concerns about these kind of animals when it comes to these wind farms. How do you address those concerns?
Yeah, we look at this more on a global perspective. Certainly, there will be some birds that are killed by a wind power facility. Bats, possibly the newer turbine types that we mentioned with slower rotor speeds, end up being less of a threat to wildlife than the older style machines. In general, I think that if you look at the balance of the effects of continuing to generate energy with polluting fossil fuels, the impact to wildlife overall is going to be absolutely devastating compared to any mortality that would be caused by switching over to wind power and solar power.
Well, Patrick and John O'Meara, I want to thank you both for joining us today. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Great. Thanks
for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Charles.